This is Yahoo Finance Live. We are just about a minute away from the opening bell here this morning. Futures are indicating a higher open. A couple of things to look ahead to both today and this week. Today, we will be getting PMIs out here in the United States. So the most up-to-date view of the U.S. economy that we tend to get, it's for the month of August, preliminary readings for August. Of course, we've got that Jackson Hole meeting of the Federal Reserve, now virtual, happening later this week. We were just talking to Brian Chung about that. And the FDA, either today or tomorrow, reportedly expected to give full authorization to the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine. So that's something that we are also anticipating and waiting for. So as we wait for those events, we're also waiting for the opening bell here this morning. We got a SPAC ringing the opening bell. We haven't done that in a little while, at least. Kensington Capital Acquisition Corp. V, that's the fifth one of those, I guess. Justin Mirro, the chairman and CEO, ringing the opening bell here this morning as we get underway. Let's talk about more where we are setting up in these markets right now. Willem Sells is joining us. He is HSBC Private Banking and Wealth Management Chief Investment Officer. Willem, it is good to see you. So I talked about some of the events we're looking ahead to this week. It feels like some choppiness in the equity markets aside last week that market participants are sort of shunting aside a lot of concerns right now, whether it be the Delta variant, whether it be crackdowns regulatory-wise in China. Do you think that that's the right thing to do? Do you think that the positives outweigh the negatives when it comes to equities right now?
Well, we're probably now in the mid-cycle stage, which is, I think, still traditionally a positive environment for equity markets, for riskier assets. And, you know, whilst you have slightly slower growth, maybe some more hiccups around COVID and, you know, it's and also around, obviously, the supply chain, it's basically, the recovery can be delayed a little bit, but probably not derailed. So that combination of that, of continued, even though a little bit slower growth, together with a very gradual Fed, should still be a positive risk environment for equity. So we remain overweight on equities. We remain invested in the bond market as well, in high yield emerging markets. Slower upside, but still important to remain invested because obviously cash is not an alternative.
What sectors do you remain overweight? Well, earlier in the show, we were talking about the street seems to be getting a little more bearish on consumer cyclicals in some parts of tech.
So, if you indeed go into the mid-cycle stage, as we believe, you would want to take profit on a few early cyclicals. And we have done that in the industrial space and in the materials as well. So we've taken profit there. We still like consumer cyclicals because, indeed, we do think that recovery, again, is delayed, not derailed. Consumers have accumulated quite a lot of savings, especially in the U.S., but also around the world. You still have unemployment falling. You have some upside wage pressure. That being said, obviously now consumer confidence has its ups and downs with the COVID ups and downs, but ultimately that money will be spent. You mentioned technology, which is traditionally a good sector to be in the mid-cycle, also because obviously we think that the Fed is going to be slow in hiking interest rates or tapering, so that should keep your bond yields low and support growth stocks. But even within the consumer cyclical sector, there are a number of companies that are technology-like. And actually within, almost all of the sectors, there are, these technological leaders. And those are the ones that we look for, those that are savvy at using AI, doing inventory management, marketing, logistics much better than the others. Those are the winners, we think, and will continue to be the winners.
Willem, I want to dig more into the Fed for just a moment, given that we've got Jackson Hole later this week. You mentioned you think bond yields are going to remain low. There are a couple of outliers to that view emerging on Wall Street and elsewhere. And of course, they've ended up being wrong this year. We saw yields go up and then they've come back down. What do you think is going to keep those yields low at these levels? Is it just the fact that the Fed is not going to act and that inflation is going to sort of pass through here and not be more sustained?
Yeah, so we've traditionally been the outlier on the lower side, looking for the 1 to 1.5% range, and we're bang in the middle of that now. We do think that obviously the Fed is looking at the improvement in the labor market, but if you look at a more broader set of data, actually U.S. Economic growth and economic data has been disappointing versus expectations. You now also have the impact, obviously, of China slowing, and the Fed is trying to figure out what impact that will have on U.S. growth. And then there is just the variable of uncertainty, which obviously means that the Fed is going to be a little bit more prudent. The more uncertainty you have, the less you have visibility, the more prudent you need to be. So they are going to act relatively slowly. With regard to tapering, obviously we had the taper tantrum in 2013. That was the first time they had to do it. It surprised us. It surprised the market. Now, obviously, it's much less of a surprise. The Fed has learned from it. The market has learned from it. They are guiding more, and that should keep bond yields low as well. And then there is the deflationary effect of technology, of the global labor market that we work in and so on, that are structural elements that keep bond yields low. So a whole series of reasons to continue to keep to expect low bond yields.
And reports over the weekend have Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen supporting another term for Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Let's say that doesn't go down that way. How disruptive would it be if Jerome Powell is not kept as Fed Chairman?
Well, I think the market is going to look for a gradual change. There is obviously the chair, but there are also all of the other members, and that's important. And then the Fed policy is set as a function of the data. So therefore, it is a slow moving. A slow-moving, policy, that could change. So I think the market, will also obviously look at, who is the candidate that comes in. We will all assume that obviously it's a very competent candidate that comes in together with all of the other people that remain in place. So I don't think necessarily the market would read too much into it. Either way, I don't think that's what we are focusing on. We are focusing on the data. And on the relative merits of tapering and of interest rate hikes. Those interest rate hikes, we only expect to see them in 2023. So again, very slow moving policy, and that's positive for markets, obviously, right? If you have that extended growth and a very slow change in monetary policy in the US and around the world, that's good for equities.
And so far, of course, that has been borne out and has been the case. We'll see if it continues to be so. Willem Sels, good to catch up with you. Thank you so much. HSBC Private Banking and Wealth Management Chief Investment Officer.